morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Phyllis Kreiser, your hostess for the Higher Dimension. I am so glad you're listening in tonight. We do have a bit of a sequel, and we'll start getting more guests, but you know, I find some people seem to like the fact that I do talk, and I do provide information, and I had one listener last week, and another one said they would like to listen in this as well, and that is to discover and discuss the subject of death and transition and rebirth and what it's like on the other side. Last week I talked about the love affair and the love story, I should say, not a love affair, though it could be in the highest moral sense of the word, that between myself and my beloved bulldog Penny. I put Penny down yesterday because I could feel her great pain and suffering. And all the way on the trip to the vet, my beloved little Penny kept her eye on my face the whole time. She watched me. We had a week together after the initial diagnosis of cancer. And when her vet saw her yesterday, after not seeing her for about 2 or 2.5 weeks, he was stunned at the deterioration in my darling dog. And I did the right thing, because the diagnosis that came back was that Penny had cancer in her mouth, and it was a kind of a bone cancer, and it was really eating up into her head, and she had other forms of illnesses. And the people at Blacksburg, Dr. Alex Gallagher, was kind enough to call me himself and to say that I had done the right thing. He had spoken to my vet, and he said, "You did the right thing, because little Miss Penny would never survive surgery." But he said, what was unusual is the kind of cancer she had was not usually found in smaller dogs, and bulldogs are smaller dogs. They've been bred into the being smaller that way. He said it's normally not found in the mouth. It's normally found on the bones of, like, Labradors, Retrievers, other larger dogs. And it's usually found on the large bones of a dog. And it usually is a cancer that starts creating from the bone and distorts the bone. And actually, it's making cancerous bone tissue, which is interesting. However, all that being equal, Penny did go to sleep, and I knew without question that I had done the right thing, and she was ready to go, and I was ready to let her go. Am I mourning her? Yes. Do I miss her? Oh, yes. But I have an absolutely marvelous, marvelous painting by animal portrait artist from Front Royal called Carol Lang. And if you contact me, I will be glad to give you her phone number, and you could call her or contact her yourself. I think I have her email also. But she did a portrait of my Penny that, if you look at it, it is Penny. And it's as though she's going to step off the wall and into the room. It's that good. And so I have this portrait of my beloved Penny, and I have my two other boys, Toby and Sparky, who are here, and they are very close to me, and they're mourning the passing too. We're going to talk about death and dying because we all have some form of death and passing of friends or family or pets in our life. And the person who asked me said she had older parents, and they are getting ill and feeble, and she wanted to be assured that there is life after death, that life is continuous and goes on. Well, I have to tell you that yes, this is true. I do know that. There's no question in my mind. I had a vision, and for me it was like a near-death experience, because I was taken out of the body, and it was a very strange situation, but I was taken out of the body and went through very civil worlds to a place of judgment where I stood and judged myself. And that's something that kind of startled me, because I hadn't read about it at the time. But we do judge ourselves. We go through our own process of seeing whether or not we have indeed performed the chores and the promises and the missions that we contracted to do before coming here. Let me say unequivocally, death is simply a setting aside of a piece of material, that is the physical body, that is no longer needed. We have an oversoul or a higher self. It's indescribably beautiful. It is forever. We are a part of God. We are a part of each other. I am reminded of that beautiful song, Finlandia, by Edvard Grieg. In that beautiful song, he says, "No man is an island, no man stands alone. Each man's joy is mine, each man's sorrow is my own." And even more intimately connected than that, are our souls with each and every other human being on this earth. We are indeed one with God and one with each other. We have lived from forever and shall live into forever. Death comes in different ways, and we are left here on this earth plane because we feel there is a separateness to us from each other, from God, from our families, from friends. We feel separateness. When indeed, this is an illusion. We are not separate. We are one. Those who suffer, those who perpetrate, like the terrorists, like others, those who hate, those who are judgmental, those who seek to run away, do not understand that their aloneness, their hatred, their fear is the concept that they are alone and separated from God within, that they are not loved at some level of their beingness. They have forgotten. They have separated themselves and thought that they were too unloved, too unworthy, whatever may be their concept, that it is false. And the changing of an instant from knowing that we are not separate from God and we are not separate from each other changes how we live and what we do. The most craven, evil, as we would think it, person is truly another part of our soul aspect out there who has simply lost its way. It's sort of like having a finger being wounded and calling to your attention to know that it is wounded. And by sending love to it and healing to it and taking care of it, that injured member of our body is healed. And so it is with all others. I have stumbled across, I was asking Spirit to guide me today to talk to you about death. And I just came across a couple of things that I want you to look at and to look into, because it is, for me, I think it is one of the most beautifully written, comprehensive descriptions of where we are and who we are and what happens when we pass. This is from a man named Frank Munkel, M-U-N-K-E-L. His site is FANDLMUNKEL at PSKNET.com. The subject is called Exploring the Light, a Near-Death Experience. And this is quite friendly. Mellon-Thomas-Benedict Death Experience Through the Light. What I got from Mellon-Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, Benedict, Through the Light, he is an artist who survived a near-death experience in 1982, and he was over an hour and a half declared dead when he came back to life. And this is a part of his story. because he died of terminal cancer in 1982. And part of this, I think that you might want to read, if you can get a hold of it, and I would assume that's a book, Through the Light by Mellon Thomas Benedict. I would do it. I just gave you this man's email experience, and I'm hoping he doesn't get hysterical from this, but at least it is several pages of one of the best descriptions of moving out of one's body and into the light that I have ever read. Another book that you can read and you can talk to and get some feedback from is, of course, Raymond Moody, R-A-Y-M-O-N-D-Y, Raymond Moody, M-O-O-D-Y. He's both a doctor and a PhD, and he's a renowned authority on near-death experiences. His groundbreaking book, Life After Life, is one of his first books, and another one called Reunion, which is talking about the apparitions of families and friends when people have passed on. Then, of course, there's John Holland, born knowing and psychic navigator. He's absolutely wonderful, and you should read his book. Another source from Edgar Cayce from the ARE, and you can call and ask, and they will provide you some wonderful, wonderful references on this. And the other, of course, is Dr. Kubler-Ross, who wrote a book, Life Beyond Death, I think. She was the one who set up, and people model now, is the grieving process that we go through when we lose someone or something in our lives that we love so very much. All I can tell you is, in my own experience, and this is all that it comes down to, is our own experiences. We die only to be reborn. I am a hypnotherapist. I do regressions on past lives. I've also gone through the Life Between Lives training. And I do this kind of work for my living. Let me give you my phone number and email and the website. And if you are interested in regressions or readings, I can do regressions over the telephone, and I can do readings, and I can do counseling. My phone number is area code 202-387-2080. My email is psychicworlds4@aol.com. That is P-S-Y-C-H-I-C, worlds, W-O-R-L-D-S, numeral 4@AOL.com. And my website on my own outside of BBS is called multiplepathwaysinc.com. And I can be reached through any of those venues and also through bbsradio.com, as they are kind enough to let me know when people want to reach me. And speaking of reaching bbsradio.com, if you want to call and the lines are busy, please persist or feel free to contact them afterwards and then send me an email with your question. I will be glad to respond. I'm very happy to be of service to people, and this is the way I make my living. So I want you to understand I am open to be of assistance to people anytime, anywhere. And I am hoping that with videos that I'm making and radio shows, that I will be able to bring the word of who and what we are, and the healing uniting of body, mind, and spirit is going to continue. At any rate, through my lifetime, I have always been able to see dead people, as the saying goes. I've been aware of them since I was a little girl. An only child of older parents, I was often quite lonely, and so I had invisible playmates. They would come to me, and we would just play, climb trees, hunt for birds' eggs. And there were boys and girls, about four or five of them, and we played together and did games, and they'd come and visit me in my home. I would hold tea parties. And my mother, thank God, was one of those wonderful people who didn't say you were crazy when I had my little chairs put around my table and said, so, this was reserved for so-and-so. My mother would respect it and sit in another chair when we had tea. And so it was pretty amazing to have a woman who was raised in the older faith to be open to this, but my darling mother was. I know many others after death. I have seen people when I have walked into rooms or buildings. And by the way, the experience of seeing children as playmates, and this is not all that uncommon, believe me, ended about 11 or 12. About the time of puberty, they tend to fade away as you come to grips with moving into adulthood and moving into a new phase of your existence. But my friends were with me for that time, and I had forgotten them for many years. And it was brought back to me a number of years ago that indeed this is something I'd read somewhere and I remembered. When my father died, when my grandparents died, I knew they were going to die soon. And my mother mentioned to me one time, shortly after grandfather died, she said, you know, Phyllis, coming home in D.C., and they had lived in St. Louis, Missouri, she said, I saw grandfather walking up the steps and he was wearing some kind of plaid pants. Now, that just wasn't like my dad. And I laughed, and she was always amazed that she saw her dad. She said he looked young, and he was laughing, and he just walked up the steps and into the house. And it made her feel good to know that there was this continuation. After my father's death, he had been ill for so long, I have to tell you, that it was 21 years after he had his first stroke, that he did die. And it was released because after that period of time, he became much more weak. And I remember just a day or so before his death, we were in the hospital, the doctor, the nurse, my mother and I, and my dad, who was unable to speak, got very agitated and was pointing at a place towards the ceiling and making noises, and the nurse and I trying, kind of placate him through them, blah, 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 whatever it was. And I looked and I said, Dad, it's okay, I see them. And he turned and he looked at me. And his face became calm. And I said, I know who's there. I said, I see your friend, Shorty. And I see Paul. I see your mom and dad and your grandparents and your brother and your sister who passed over. Am I right? And he looked at me and he started nodding and tears came to his eyes. And the rest of the people in the room kind of looked at me funny. But you see, I could see them there, waiting to greet him. Understand that we do not die alone. Those who have loved us and gone before us come to help us move in transition to the other side. Those who are going to die also know ahead of time when they are going to die. Before death, whether it be in battle, an accident, illness, sudden traumatic, it doesn't matter. The soul knows ahead of time what is to occur with the physical body, and very often, in fact, I would say in most all instances, the soul begins to separate from the physical body before the event that jolts the soul out of the body. Okay? That means, and here I'll cite an instance from Edgar Casey. Edgar Casey could see auras at all times, and this is how he could tell the health of a person, this and that and the other thing. And one day he was in a building, high-rise building, he was getting ready to step in the elevator, and all of a sudden, when he looked into the elevator and saw the people, he stopped in shock and stepped back. The elevator doors closed, and shortly thereafter, the cable broke, and the elevator plunged to the basement, killing all people aboard. When he was asked later or thought about it, they said, well, why didn't you step on the elevator? He said, because when I looked at the people inside, I saw they had no aura. And it so shocked me that I stepped back in surprise. This is what does happen. I know there was a dear, dear friend of my daughter. 6 months before her death, I had predicted to her mother that I felt that her daughter's life was going to be ended, it was going to be violent. And that somehow through her son, I didn't know how, I had thought one way and was wrong, but it was through her son that her life would be ended. And in a sense, yes, it was, because it was someone her son befriended and brought to her home. This someone was responsible for her daughter's death 6 months later. But about 10 days or so, 2 weeks before her death, she came to visit. She always called me Mom. Some of the kids used to call me Mom. My daughter's friends called me Mom as a sign of affection. And I looked at her and I said, "Honey, are you feeling well?" And she said, "I feel fine." I said, "Are you sure you're not sick? You look very, very pale." And she said, "No, I'm fine. I'm fine." And I kept saying, "Well, honey, maybe you better check it out or rest or something, because she looks sick." And I realized later what I was not seeing was the pallor of her skin, but the aura around her was faded away. She was brutally murdered, in fact, the night of my daughter's high school graduation. And within a day or so after her death, my daughter and I were at home. Her disappearance and death. My daughter and I were home, I think just the day after, and she came into our house, into the room where we were in the den, and I looked at Katie. I said, "Katie, Jessie's here." She looked at me and she looked at the door. She said, "Yes, I know." I said, "Honey, she wants you to know she loves you and that everything's okay and not to be upset." And my daughter was angry. She said, "I don't want to look at her. I don't want to talk to her. She died. She was killed. She said, I'm angry. I don't want to talk to her." And I saw her friend look at her with sorrow move away. And she also knew how much her family mourned for her and how much they felt more the betrayal of someone who purported to be a friend of the family, who had been welcomed into their home, had violated that by taking their daughter's life. But yet this young girl has moved on, and she is still a part of life and glowing. What we are often left with is the feeling that someone has been, quote unquote, taken from us for whatever reasons or means. And what we do not realize is that the people who do leave by whatever means have chosen to go in that way, at that time, in that manner, for whatever reason they may desire. It could be one of many reasons, and each is unique to the soul and their individual path on this earth plane. We come with a contract in hand, a mission, to obtain certain objectives while we are here, whether it is to learn patience or humility, or it is to develop an artistic bent as a musician or an artist, or it is to live the life of quiet fulfillment as a wife or a husband raising children, being a part of the community, committed to establishing a loving, normal relationship, as we call it. And within these, there are the dynamics of lessons to be learned and to be shared. It is the way when some children are very small and die because it's their time to go. Sometimes people come to us in order to help us through lessons, to love our life, to be our support, to be there for us. Some children choose to be born in bodies that have a need to be taken care of, whether it's through an accident or a disease or a birth defect or what have you. And they are here for this time to both work on what they have as called as karma, or to develop certain qualities, or out of greater love for the parents, to help the parents or the teachers or the siblings in their lives come to a greater love and understanding. And if we look at each soul, we grieve. The most beautiful thing that I can think of that says a great deal in multiple ways is, God in me greets God in thee. You would be amazed if you were to say this silently into any room in which you walk, into any meeting you go into attend. You don't have to say it out loud, but if you want to, go for it. But I am saying that you will change the whole tenor the whole feeling, the whole atmosphere of whatever meeting it is that you have walked into. Understanding that as you love and respect and honor your own being, you do so with others. After my father died, I know that he had suffered so much for those 20-some years that it was a relief for him to go and move on. And I knew he was there at times. In fact, one time when my youngest daughter was little, she was down in his workshop, and she was creating something. And she picked up a real small hacksaw. I think she couldn't have been about more 5 or 6 or 7 at that time. And she went busily to work. And so I asked her what she was making. And she said she was making a staff. And she was talking. I said, well, who are you talking to? She said, well, there's a man here helping me. He said he's my grandfather, and he's here helping me saw so I don't hurt myself. Amazing. He had not met my daughter. She had been born a number of years after his death. And so she made a beautiful staff and put some gemstones on it, like amethyst and lapis lazuli and rose quartz and beautiful other stones on it and beads. And we still have that staff today. It's a beautiful piece. And she also made some other things. She also made something that she called, again at the direction of this lovely gentleman, a face to warn away evil. And when she finished sawing it on a piece of wood, throwaway wood, very small, it had slanted eyes. It looked very much like it was an Alaskan Indian, Inuit. It was very simple. And then she painted it black, red, and white. And I wondered about that. And later I read something that said those three colors are worn or painted to drive away evil spirits. And some kids had come into our yard and stolen something or what have you, some adults maybe, who knows who. At any rate, from that day to this, that piece of art, the spirits, the totems that take away evil, sits on the windowsill on our back porch, and we haven't had any more problem with people coming in. I don't know, I'm just throwing it out. Sometimes these things happen and I cannot explain them for the life of me. But there it sits, and our house has been lovingly protected. My mother's death was very quick and sudden. She died of a sudden heart attack very quickly. I went out to water roses. I came in and found her body lying on the floor. And my dogs, including my beloved Penny, were there around her. And I held her in my arms. She didn't regain consciousness. I knew it was from a massive heart attack. I also knew that she had never wanted to be kept alive through artificial means. And I think one of the hardest things that I had to do in my life, as I knelt by the floor and I called my daughter to please call the fire department, get the emergency ambulance crew there, get help, something. And I spoke to my mother and told her how much I loved her, how much I wanted her to stay, but if this was her time to go, I would understand that I loved her, that I would not hold her back, I would not grieve and beg her to stay, because she had lived for 87 and a half years, and it was her choice to stay or go. And as I talked to her, I was aware of a brilliant white light standing beside her body. And when I looked up, I knew it was my mother's soul looking at me. And while her body continued to breathe, and yes it does, the soul can leave the body, and the body will still continue to breathe on its own for a little while afterwards, not always, but yes, very frequently it does. I felt embraced by her, and I felt her thanks for being willing to release her and not hold her back, because had I begged her to, I know she would have stayed. And for me, that would have been very selfish. And the one thing I didn't want to do was go against what my mother had wanted. And it was her choice, her freedom of choice, and I honored and respected her for all she had done for me, and that the only way I could show her how much I loved her was to continue to do so at the moment of her transition. She turned and left, walked through the closed doors, up the steps of the garden, and I saw her walk into the tunnel of light. It was like a door open. She passed through it, and immediately the door was closed. And then I started doing CPR, you know, just in case heaven wasn't all cracked up to be what they say it is. And she changed her mind. She could always come back, so I started doing CPR. But I think she preferred to be in heaven. At any rate, because I have seen souls that have passed over, and where of souls, I was kind of anticipating when she went through her transitional phase and adjustment period, which is what we all go through when we pass through into the next world. I expected to have her come visit me by a dream or standing at the foot of my bed or whatever. My vision of her, my seeing her, did not come in the way I expected, which is, as well to say, people can come in the way they so choose. I would be aware of her presence or a hand on the shoulder, a gentle squeeze, and just a presence and a knowingness. But one day I was in meditation with my friends, and in the meditation, all of a sudden, out of the darkness, I saw three beautiful lights coming towards me, sparkling, shimmering lights. And they must have come from a distance because they were small, and they came closer and closer, and the center light seemed to be brighter than the others, and I knew without a doubt that was my mother. You see, we are all light in our otherness, in our soul awareness. We are literally beings of light. We express the sum total of who we are in the vibration of light and the vibration of sound or music. And as they came closer, it was like two angels that were with my mom, escorting her. And my mother came, and with it the knowledge and the awareness that all was well, that she was happy, that life was continuing on, and that everything was in place as it should be. And that was my visitation from my mother. Now, since then, I have had a few dreams in which my mother played a role, but I think it was more as my memory of a mother than my mother herself, although upon occasion, I have felt her presence very clearly in my life. But it hasn't been necessary to call on her, except yesterday when I put my little penny down and asked her to please come and take Penny's soul. Because I didn't want my little Penny to be alone, and I'm sure she wasn't. At any rate, we are all life in a gigantic tapestry of light. In the Cryon series by Lee Carroll, he calls it the magnetic grid, and there is a grid around the earth, and it is light. And we are all a part and attached in some way, or working through this light. The other thing that has come across so clearly is that as we understand in our transition from this world to the next, we are simply continuing on with the never-ending story of our soul's journey, and that every atom of our being, and it is our spiritual body, our etheric body, our energy body, whatever you want to call it, the vibratory body, the light body, every story of our past lives, our future lives, are carried in the energy of that. I told you about the vision I had so many years ago. It was like a near-death experience, and in that vision, again, when I was taken before the judges and reviewed all of my life, like frankly, from the very beginning of our reincarnation on Earth, or an incarnation on Earth, I should say, all of the things that I had or had not done, all the things I said or didn't say and should have said, were kept, and they were stored in the very atoms of my body. There wasn't a place in my body where there wasn't a memory. People have always been asked, where's your memory? Well, in the brain, no, it's throughout your body. Every portion of your body, every organ has memory stored in it. Be aware of that. You aren't just brain. You are emotions and feelings. And when you come, you bring all of your storehouse of knowledge with you into this lifetime so that you can access it if you so choose. You can access your past lives. You can have people like me help you, or you can learn on your own, whatever. It's always important. In dreams, you can access your lives of past, present, and future. It is up to you and your belief and trust in who you are and in your own being that gives you the answer. Now, I know lately I've been telling people this and they don't want to hear it. Nobody really wants to be completely and totally responsible for themselves and what happens in their life, but quite frankly, we are. And as we become aware of this and acknowledge it, we grow in grace and beauty. That's all I can tell you. As you accept more and more your responsibility for yourself in this life, you create a more harmonious and loving place in your own life to grow and to stretch and to love. And that's what this life is all about, and that's the transition from life to life. As we grow and move forward, we understand more and more, as we desire ourselves to understand, about life and death. Now, I am going to pause there and ask, if you all would like to call in, if somebody wants to call in and talk and have special questions or specific questions about any phase of death or dying or transition, please feel free to do so, or please, again, feel free to call me at 202-387-2080 or contact me at my email at psychicworld4@aol.com or contact me through bbsradio.com. I would like very much to be able to respond to you and help you with any questions that you might have. At the time of death, and there are many good books, again, Dr. Kubler-Ross is a classic on this one, Raymond Moody's is very good, and these other people are absolutely wonderful as well. And Edgar Cayce is, there are some special books on that. I wanted to let you know that there are phases of grief that we do move through, and it's okay, because we are human emotional beings here on this earth, and we do feel the loss. And it's very normal and natural. I know, and with all the knowledge and understanding and training I have, I cannot explain to you why, with my mother's loss, which was without warning, but I was grieving for about 6 years. That's all I can tell you. They say normally it's a 5 year or 3 to 5 years. Mine went longer, and I felt very, very bereft, and my whole life turned upside down. And lives can do that. Some are able to pick up and move on fairly quickly. Some do not. I have no idea why it was different. I only can surmise from my own training and understanding is that I had lessons to learn, and I needed to learn them because I was moving from a life that was grounded in old thoughts and ways to one that was new. And death, in a sense, was what I went through in my mother's loss, was what put me onto an acceptance of opening up and accepting all kinds of new information and knowledge and being aware of releasing and letting go of old habits and thoughts and ideas. And I can tell you as a Capricorn, this is not an easy thing for me to do, but it does happen. And allowing people to transition peacefully and to know yourself, there is nothing to fear. When the time comes, please understand, there is nothing to fear, for you are simply going back to who you really are. Not to nothingness, not to an unknown place, but to your true home, to your true awareness and understanding of who you really are, to the who that exists in God, as we are all a part of God, and this macro understanding erases all fear and doubt and sense of loss. And it takes my breath away sometimes when I understand the marvelous gift that I have been given with the losses in life and the grieving that I've had, to understand more about myself and to seek the answers and to open my heart to accept information that a few years ago I would have rejected. I do accept now, because I have grown in stature and my vibration has changed. As we go through this, we are refined higher and higher. And as we move through these phases and stages, as we adjust to them and we accept them and accept the beauty and the teaching that comes with it, we come to a much more loving and gentler and respectful understanding of ourselves and others. It is from this higher perspective, if you will, or grander perspective, or more loving perspective, that I do know that all that we see around us has been in a sense of our own making and our own ignorance and our own feelings of separateness, whether in this lifetime or other lifetimes, and that if we would all just agree to focus and say, my intent is to become more aware of who and what I am. My intent is to love myself more, to respect myself more, because in that way you love and respect every other being on this planet. And as you do that, you do raise the vibrations of every other soul on this planet, allowing miracles to become realities in your life. In going into life between lives, in hypnotherapy, what we do is we regress you to a past life, and then we take you from your last moment on earth at that life into your between life before you came here. It is a fascinating journey, and it can take anywhere from 3 to 5 hours for this particular form of hypnotherapy process to look into. It's absolutely amazing. And it talks about the stages that you go through in between lives, when you transition, the healing rooms, whether it's for the parts that vibrated in the physical, if you had a physical dysfunction or disease, there's a healing area for that to cleanse your etheric body of that, because it's always interrelated. Moving into soul groups, talking with councils, reviewing past lives, seeing where you achieved what you were supposed to, where you did not, and special training that we go through. We can choose to be with certain groups of souls that we recognize. Some are from our family groups, some are from other groups, but we all realize that we are one and we are all growing with one another, and we are, each of us, as we bring the discovery of who and what we are with us back home each time, adds to the knowledge and understanding of the whole, of all the souls. There are more galaxies, there are more universes than one could ever dream possible, and there are many lives, and there's always creation going on. And do souls come back? Yes, they do. Sometimes in the same family, sometimes not. But usually there is a period of time that shifts between lives. Some lives, people will come back fairly quickly. It is my understanding from my own regression in former lifetimes, where I lived in the earlier part of the last century and was killed during World War II. And I came back very quickly to help other souls because I had a higher purpose to come back, a high spiritual one to come back and be with the earth in a time of great spiritual change, which began at the end of World War II and is continuing now, as we know, into the year 2010, 2012, 2008, I'm thinking. And for this, many souls who were killed in World War II did indeed come back. Think of the hippies of the 60s. I believe that many of these were my fellow souls from World War II who did not want to see another war. And for this reason, there was the peace movement that helped to turn around the vibration of greater wars at that time to lesser conflicts. We are now at a very precipitous time, and the talk of death is appropriate, and the dying and the transition is many people are choosing to leave at this time as the transition of the earth goes into a higher vibration, moving from four dimensions, as the scientists have recently allowed, because before that it was a three-dimensional world, now they say it's four-dimensional, moving into yet a fifth dimension. And we are all honored to be here, and those souls who have departed in their own place and way off this earth are indeed participating in this. The old energies are fighting a stand to not change. But yes, the change is coming. And so there will be a lot of death and dying. And understand and open your hearts to accept and know that with each death, a little bit of you is dying. But understand at the same time that it is also being reborn into a greater awareness of creation and oneness with the source of all there is. We are not alone. And our family and friends will be around us. Our guardian angels, our guides and mentors are around us. And would we but open our minds, our eyes, and our awareness to their loving kindness, their willingness to be our friends, our guides, our helpers, we would find our way so much more smooth. It is our illusion of separateness that keeps us from understanding and accepting each other. Again, let me give you my phone number and email address. I'm Phyllis Kreiser. My telephone number is 202-387-2080. My email is psychicworlds4@aol.com. My website is Multiple Pathways Inc. That is multiplepathwaysinc.com. Again, you can reach me through BBS. I do take clients. I do give psychic readings. I do hypnotherapy. I do long-range healing. And I work with other people, so if I cannot provide you with assistance, I can refer you to others. I am so glad that I have had this marvelous opportunity to share with you my understandings and my experiences and those of others on death and dying and transition. I would put in a word here for wonderful hospices. The Capital Area Hospice of BC I belong to. I do volunteer work there. They are a fabulous organization. They are just phenomenal. And I want you to know that all that you can do in extending yourself in kindness and love, even if it's in your thoughts, It's wonderful, very wonderful, if you can extend it by lending a helping hand or volunteering at a local hospice or nursing home or working with children. Anything that you do, any good, positive thought that you have, any loving thought does raise the vibration of this world and raises your energy vibration as well. We are all a part of God. We are all a part of each other. We are all in the process of creation at every single moment of the day. But God dwells within us. We don't have to go to this mountain or that guru or that saint or whatever. But all does exist within us. And if we would but go into our own hearts with the childlike attitude of trust and faith, knowing that the loving Creator, the source of all good, is at all times and everywhere a part of our beingness. That's all we need. I wanted to say also, 15-Minute Miracle with Jacqueline Aldana, who was my guest several weeks ago. Each and every day, I have found a miracle of timing, of synchronicity, of a meeting that I thought or a missed meeting turned out to go better than had I planned it some way, that everything is moving forward in a miraculous way on each and every level of my life. And while I had to release my beloved little bulldog and her vet, Johnny Clark, who is with Blue Animal Clinic and is such a blessing to us and for my two little boys that are left, Sparky and Toby, I am so very, very grateful for his kindness and his compassion and that of his staff when the final moment came. And again, for the Virginia Tech Animal Hospital and Dr. Gallagher and Katie Winkleman, again, I am so grateful for them and their staff and their kindness. My heart is so filled with love for all beings at this point because I was honored to have the love of a good and faithful servant. I was honored and blessed to have a wonderful mother and a father who took care of me and loved me. And as I look out, I know my heart goes out in love and honor to each and every one of you, for I want to say God in me greets God in thee. We will be on next week with, I believe, Frankie Avery. She's a well-known psychic, and she also is losing weight on isogenics. We're going to talk about that because it's a weight loss that I am trying. I've not been a good girl, I have to admit. I have not been sticking with it, but I'm giving it a try. She has lost almost 60 pounds now, and I wanted to have you listen to her and talk, and maybe some of you out there would like to become involved and try it because we all need to be in better health. For all of those who you have lost loved ones, understand that you need to remove the word lost. You have not lost them. They are a part of you. They are a part of your being. You are they and they are you. And know that you and they are loved by the source of the Creator. That you are never alone. All you have to do is ask. And asking, accept. And accepting, allow. And all that you could wish and all that you could desire, I do wish for all of you. And I thank you. And I honor you for being part of my listening audience. And if there is a way that I can be of service, please, please do so. We hope to be able to tell you that I will be bringing up videos streaming on the internet, and I'm hoping that this does go through and we can bring them up and you can start seeing videos of interviews that I've taken with people at the ARE, Charles Edgar Casey, the grandson of Edgar Casey. Charles Thomas Casey, I'm sorry. Excuse me, I didn't mean to insult him. Charles Thomas Casey, Edgar Casey's son, grandson, and others. We have Dr. Alan Chip, who is a wonderful hypnotherapy teacher, and holistictree.com is his website. We're hoping to have Dr. Alan Chip on again. He's written a book about healing himself of cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So we have some wonderful people coming up as guests. And again, I want to let you know that I am very grateful for BBS Radio and the owners of BBS Radio, and Don and his brother, Doug, for all the wonderful support and financial in setting up the radio station and running it, for being open to accepting people like me and Akira and Patty Compton and others. Thank you. God bless and goodbye.